Father, once again, we also come to hear your word this morning. Father, we ask you, Lord, to open up our eyes and our ears, God, that we would hear and understand your word. Father, we thank you for wisdom and revelation knowledge. Father, I thank you that you'll meet needs this morning, God, that you'd give wisdom, that you'd give encouragement, that you'd give inspiration, Father God, that you would just meet the need, Father, answer questions that people have in their hearts. God, we thank you that the Holy Spirit, the teacher of the church, will come and teach us and lead us and guide us in all truth. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen, amen.
We have been talking over the past several weeks about the vision of our church. I want to continue along that line. You know, the vision of our church is to reach the lost, grow spiritually, and to learn to love God and love others. Let's turn to 1 John, 1 John chapter 4. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves God is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Being born of God is not the same thing as knowing God or loving him. When you get born again, you meet God. Aren't you glad you met God? I don't know about you, but I sure am. When you get born again, you meet God, but that doesn't mean that you know him. You can know a few things about him, but that doesn't mean that you know him. We can take, for example, you might know a few things about President Trump, but that doesn't mean that you know him personally. Or you might know a few things about Bill Gates, but you don't know him personally. Well, some people can know a few things about God, but that doesn't guarantee that they know him personally. And it's so important that we come to know him. That we come to know him and love him. Many believers think that they know God just because they're born again. Well, being born again just gets you into fellowship. Just gets you in the door. It gets you the right to come to know him. And we have to get to know him and love him. What does that verse say? He that loves is born of God and knows him. Notice the key word here is he who loves. He who loves. The Bible says that God is love. God is love. And not love is not a subject about God. Love is God. Love is not describing God. It's who he is. Like faith or healing, it's not about God. It's who he is. Every spiritual concept of God flows through love. God is love. Everything we teach, everything that we know, faith and righteousness and authority. You can talk about God and different aspects of God, but when we're talking about him, he is love. He is love. There would be no redemption without love. There would be no faith without love. There would be no righteousness without love. He is love. Even teaching and helping to disciple other people, if it's not presented and taught in love, it will not be effective. Some people think their job is just to tell it like it is. I just tell it like it is. I just put it out there. I tell it like it is. You know, some even brag about their bluntness. And they say, just lay it on the line. Take it or leave it. That's how it is. Well, wrong. Wrong. That's not right. You have to speak the truth in love. That doesn't mean that you might not say some things strong. But even though you say some strong things, there has to be seasoned with love. You can't just be rude. You can't just put it out there and offend. You have to season what you say with love. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor. That's good preaching. You got to say it with love. Amen. We have to put it out there. And it's okay to be strong. It's okay to give a word that's strong, but it's got to be seasoned with love. And people can tell whether it's seasoned with love or not. Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head. The way the truth is presented will determine how it's received. Isn't that our goal? Isn't that the goal? To put truth out there so it's received. So it's received. We don't want to just slap people with the truth. And there's a lot of that going on today in the body, slapping people. That doesn't bless anyone. That doesn't edify anyone. We are to prepare it and use it
with love. The same is true as how we speak about others and our relationships. Some people think that they are right, and they want to make everyone know that they are right. You still have to use love. You might be right, but if it's without love, it's of no use to anybody. What you have to say is of no use. It will not be received. It will not benefit the hearer because it's not seasoned in love. You can say some pretty strong things. You can say some tough things. But if they're presented with love, it will be received. And if it's not, it's going to hinder the hearer. It's not just what you say, but how you say it. It's not what you know. It's not how right you are. It's what others will receive. Boy, sometimes we think, well, I've cornered the truth. I know the truth. I know the truth. I know the truth. I know the truth. And we just want to take the Bible and beat people over the head with it. It's not what you know. It's what they can receive. What can they receive? I'm telling you, if you sprinkle love on that truth that you know and share the excitement that you have in your heart for it, they will receive it. It is not true in churches of how things are presented will determine how they received. It is true. It is true that how things are presented will affect how they're received. I could come up here today and point a long finger of judgment at you and point out all your flaws and how you're a horrible person and you don't keep your word and you have all kinds of shortcomings and why does God even put up with you? I could preach condemnation. I could preach guilt. I could preach, why aren't you here when the door opens? Why don't you give in the offering? Why don't you serve in the church? And I could yell at you and scream at you and make you feel little and rotten, and you could go out feeling condemned. But I know that that doesn't produce fruit in your life. So you don't hear that kind of stuff from me. You don't hear guilt and condemnation and fear and you know, all those kinds of things. That's not going to help you. It's not going to develop you. You're not going to grow up spiritually because of those things. You need to hear the love of God. You need to grow up you do need to grow up spiritually. And you need to have the love of God working in your life. You need to have the Word of God in your heart and in your mind. You need to know the truth because truth makes you free. It helps you grow. But what we present, how we present it, affects how you receive. God is love. We need to emulate Him. 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Say, we love the brethren. Turn to someone next to you and say, I love you. That's what it's talking about, loving the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. The love of God is so rich. When you get born again, you get a taste. You get a little taste of that, of God's love. I'm telling you, there's nothing better than the love of God. There's nothing better than the love of God. What makes heaven so rich? It's being in the presence of love. You know, we think of heaven with the pearly gates and the streets of gold, and I'm sure it's going to be tremendous to see. But what makes heaven heaven is the love that comes from the Father, the love of God that's permeating the air. It's when we behold Him face to face. That's what makes heaven heaven. What makes hell hell? The absence of God's presence. Love will win the world. More than talking in tongues, more than miracles, more than prosperity, love will win the world. It's the love of God. It's the love of God that wins the world.
All those things flow from love. Let's turn to John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, by what? By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. The Bible says that we're supposed to love one another, and by doing that, people will know that we are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our greatest witness, our love for one another. I think we got a little work to do. I think we have a little work to do. We can turn up the volume, so to speak, on our love walk, loving one another. Loving one another. This is for believers. This is for the church. We're supposed to love one another. We are to love one another. This is not speaking about loving the world. We're supposed to start with each other. We are to love the world as well, but we're specifically supposed to love each other. Can you see why the enemy tries to keep the body of Christ in strife? He tries to destroy us and divide us, and he tears down our witness, because the Bible says we'll be known by our love. This is the foundation of everything that we believe, everything that we do spiritually. We should be known as loving people. I believe it's a disgrace to the church when the natural world or natural worldly things are considered to be more loving and helpful than the church is. The love of God is the foundation of salvation. The love of God should be our motivation. We have to love and care for people. You should care whether people go to heaven or hell. Anybody care? Do you care if your family goes to hell? Do you care if your friends and your relatives, they spend eternity in hell separate from God? The love of God in you will direct you to witness and pray for others. Love is the motivation. Love is why you come to church. It should be. You know, I grew up in a denomination. I went to church because my parents told me to go. I stayed in church because I knew it would make them happy. As I got older and we started driving ourselves, we would go and pick up a bulletin and come home and say, oh, I went to church. I went in the door and went out the door, got a bulletin. I went to church. Because church didn't mean anything to me then. It was a religious thing that I had to do, a service, an act. It had no real meaning to my life. The things that were talked about didn't seem relevant, didn't seem applicable, didn't seem like it had any value. So I wanted to keep my parents happy, so I would just do what I did. And not that I'm proud of it, but I'm just saying it, church should mean something. And I don't want to be motivated by guilt. I come to church because I love God. Before I pastored and went to church, I showed up early. I was there every time the door was open, because not because I wanted to be seen by people or impress people with my spirituality. It's because I love God and I wanted to be where He was. I love His presence. I'm addicted to the presence of God. Still am. There is nothing greater in this earth, nothing greater in this life than experiencing the presence of Almighty God. And I've been in places where the presence is so strong that you just don't want to leave. Just want to stay there. The love of God, our love for God has to be our motivating force. God will direct you. You know, we tend to compare ourselves with others. We don't want to be. We don't want to get into that realm of watching other people and comparing and all that kind of stuff. It has to come from within us. Isn't the kingdom of God within us? The love of God is within us. Do you love God from your heart? We can't be so callous or insensitive. If we are, we're not operating in the love of God. We have to have his love. Everything from the Word of God flows from love. You know, prosperity, it flows from love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Everything that is in the Word of God flows from a heart of love. We receive the blessings of the Lord so that we can bless others. When we love God, we care about other people. God is able to direct us to give and to sow and to reap and all those good things. We're not supposed to be so caught up with the things of this life. We get caught up in wealth and money and things, and we treat other people as less, or if we truly have a heart for others, we'll be willing to give whatever we have. When people see us, they should be able to say, I see Jesus in you. There's something different about you. They should see the love of God in you. They should see that in you. It's the key to flowing in the gifts of the Spirit, walking in greater levels or degrees of faith, walking in the deeper things of God, your love life. Not just our love for each other, but our love for God. You have got to have your love for God piping hot on the inside of you. You've got to stir that up on a regular basis. Do you love God, or do you love other things more? You should constantly check your heart in that area. Do I love other things more? Do I love the praise of people? Do I love money and status and position and my house and my kids and my whatever? Do I love those things more than I love God? You shouldn't. Now, I'm much like you. I have three children of my own, and I think they're the best. I do. And you probably think that of your children. I just think they're the best. I just love the people they've become. I love their sense of humor. I love everything about them. They're not perfect. They mess up. They make mistakes. I know that. But I love them. I think they're just top shelf. You probably think that of your children. And you should. And you should. But you know what? When it comes to God, I love God first. And my family's right under that. But they're under that. God is first. And as a matter of fact, I want my children to know that God is first above them. Because we have to have God's love in priority in our life. God has to be first and foremost in your life. I believe my children are a gift from God. And I enjoy them, and I thank God for them, and I pray for them, and et cetera, et cetera. But God is the giver. God is the giver. And we need to keep him first. What's the most important thing on this planet? In my life, it's God. Should be the same in your life. And talking generally, the other most important thing on the planet is people. The most important thing on the planet is people, not stuff, not money, not the stock market, not politics, people. People. People are the most important thing. And yet we talk about all kinds of things, and we're busy doing all kinds of things, and we're busy living our life, and we ignore the most important thing on the planet. People. All people. How are you treating them? How are you treating them? Are you treating them with love? You need to be. You know, sometimes we can get into a ditch when we talk about love. When we say walk in love, some people think that they have to be a doormat for mankind. Well, I just need to walk in love, and, you know, people can abuse me, people can use me, and it's okay, because that's walking in love. No, that's not walking in love. That's a ditch on one side of the road. You know, everyone's mistreating you. Well, just turn the other cheek. There are times we need to bite our tongues, and there are times we need to walk in love, but that doesn't mean that you have to be a doormat for people either. There's a balance here. Does that mean that we do everything that everybody wants us to do? Some people, that's how they define love. If you love me, you'll do what I want. If you love me, you'll do what I want. And you become a person that does everything for everybody. The only place that's going to get you is worn out and frustrated and never satisfied, because people will continue to use and abuse and take advantage of you. That's a ditch. Walking in love is treating people with kindness, speaking to people in love. That doesn't mean that you can't say things. Doesn't mean that you can't, you know, speak your mind or have an opinion. You have to speak in love. Love wants the best. Love sometimes will give you a time out. I love my children. There was times when they were little, I gave them a time out because I love them, right? Or times you give them a spanking. I gave them a spanking if they needed it. And love is not afraid of being unpopular. You know, sometimes when you're a parent, you have to be unpopular. You're doing your job. When our kids were little, they were two or three, and they wanted a candy bar in the store, and they'd scream and yell and carry on. And I'd just grab them by the hand and say, "We're leaving." Leave everything right where it was and just, "We're leaving." And they screaming and yelling because they wanted a candy bar. Well, we have to correct our children. We have to be unpopular sometimes, and that's okay, because that's demonstrating love. It's not good for them to have candy bars anytime they want them. We have to treat them with love. Being loving isn't wimpy. It takes great courage and boldness to be loving at times. 1 John 3:22 says, "And whatever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he has gave us commandments." Jesus said himself, the entire law is summed up here in two things. He said, believe on the name of his Son and to love one another. You know, you can't enjoy anything unless your heart is right with God. No matter who you are or what you have, whether you have a condo in Maui, if you do, call me. I want to talk to you. or you have a $100,000 sports car. You know, you can have all the nice stuff in the world. But if your heart's not right with God, you're not going to have the joy that could come from those things. You have to learn to live in the love of God. Learn to live in the love of God. Living in the manifest love of God. That's what heaven is like. We can do that here. You can have a foretaste of heaven. And I believe the greatest key to living in the love of God is loving other people. Loving other people, giving to other people. It's the key to joy and loving others. I don't know about you, but maybe you had a mother like I did. There was times you'd have a rough day or something. You'd come home and my mother would always say, "Well, who can you reach out to? You're feeling down. You're feeling discouraged. Who can you reach out to? Who can you pray for? Who can you help?" And, you know, my mom always knew that that was the best medicine. Give. Give. And it always works. John 15, I want to read this really quick. John 15, verse 9, it says, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love." You know, the Bible says that we're to abide in his love. That word abide means to dwell, to remain, to live, to set up and stay. "If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. The Bible says to continue to stay in his love, living in the manifest love of God. This is what makes heaven. Living in the manifest love of God. Heaven's not about the pearly gates. Heaven's not about the streets of gold. It's about his love. When people see God's love in us, that's what's going to change people's lives. It takes effort to walk in love, you know. You can't be so inward. You can't be so self-focused. Walking in love takes effort. You have to notice people around you. You have to talk to people around you. Well, I'm tired. I'm busy. No, part of walking in love is giving out towards people. The best medicine you can do when you're having troubles yourself is to look for someone else to bless. Now more than ever, do people need a touch from God? You know, the Bible talks about the harvest is ripe, the laborers are few. We become so focused on our own life, even spiritually. Lord, bless me and bless my family and heal my dog and give me all that I need today and do this and do that and do this and do that. And amen. It's all about us. You're not here just for you. You're not here just for you. You didn't get born again just for you, that you could live happily ever after and that you would be unto yourself. That's not how, that wasn't God's plan. God's plan is that you'd get born again and that you'd tell other people about it. And that you'd bring as many people as you can into the kingdom. That's God's plan. That you would love as many people as you can along your journey. That's God's plan. So I want you to take a moment this morning. How are you doing? How are you doing? Are you likable? Do people like you? I'm not asking for any answers. Do people like you? Are you a likable person? You should be. You should be because you limit influence if you're not. Are you going out of your way talking to people? Are you friendly? Do you ask people, can I pray for you today? Is there something going on in your life? Is there an opportunity to share God with them? You don't have to go up to people and preach a sermon and give 28 scriptures. You can just simply say, good to see you today. Boy, if you just did that on a daily basis, you'll have opportunities because maybe the next time you see them, they'll be a little down and you say, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? We need to be people that love. We need to be people that care about other people. If the church doesn't, who will? We are his body. He is the head. We are his body. God's thinking about people all the time. He's the head. He's thinking about people all the time. Do you ever think about how the body functions? You know, the head tells the body to do something. The head tells, pick up that Bible, and the body picks it up. Well, God has people on his mind. He wants to save them. He wants to deliver them. He wants to love them. He wants to express himself. And so he's telling us, the body, to go out and do it. And we're the body, and too many of us are like this. God wants us to be like this. Now more than ever, do people need some love in their life? We're called to be those instruments of light. We must be praying. We must be doing the works of of Jesus. We need to spend some time loving God ourselves. What makes you love God? That's something good to think about. What makes you love God? Well, he's God. No, what makes you love him? If you don't know, it's difficult to love him. What makes you love your spouse? What do you love about your spouse?
They're good company. I love them. Why? They're tender-hearted. They're affectionate. They say wonderful things to me. We need to think about why we love God and spend some time thanking Him and sharing that with Him. That's enjoying His presence. You don't know people very well until you start to love them. You know, people don't even have to be nice to love them. Sometimes when you give to others, it brings you a joy. It brings you that peace on the inside. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus that He said over in Acts. It said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." You're supposed to be a love distributor. You're supposed to be distributing the love of God to people. And hopefully along with that, you'll give them truth. Spoken in love, right? You need to believe for things, believe for opportunities in people's lives, and that God would open doors for you to express His love. And in your own life, focus on loving God. I think the best way to grow spiritually is to love God. At the end of the day, no matter what happens, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. You know, that has to be expressed. My last thought today is your love for God needs to be expressed. What if you're in a marriage and you truly love the person, but you never tell that person? You never express that to that person anything good. Are they going to feel loved by you? Maybe, maybe not. Love has to be expressed. Love has to be expressed. Without it, there is no love. So let's take a time to express our love for God. If you're not expressing your love for God, there is no love for God from you. It has to have voice. And you have to speak it. You have to think it. You have to say it. It's like the bride and groom. They say their vows, and the groom says, "I love you. I want you to hear me now because I'm never going to say it again. I love you." What kind of relationship will that be? Not very good. Not very good. You know, we're supposed to love others with the love that God has put in us. Love Him. Love Him. We're going to take just a moment before we go today, and I want you just to close your eyes. You can stand up if you want to, and we're just going to take a moment to love God. I want you to practice. Father, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You, Lord, that You love us. You said in Your word, "For You so loved us that You gave Your only begotten Son." We thank You for Jesus. And Lord, we love You. We love You with all our hearts, with all that's within us, our entire being, O God. We love You. Lord, we love You because You're patient with us. You're long-suffering. You wait for us to make adjustments. You wait for us. You help us. Lord, You strengthen us when we're tired and weary. You strengthen us. When we're down and discouraged, You encourage us. Lord, You've given us Your Spirit to help us. You've empowered us. You've given us authority. You've given us life. Father, we thank You for Your great love in our life. Lord, we love You. We love You, Lord. Oh, Lord, let not this day pass by us without us expressing our love for You. Lord, how we love You. How we love You, Lord. Oh, You're so good to us, so merciful, so kind, so generous. Lord, we love You. We love You, Father. Forgive us if we've been silent. Forgive us if we have not told You. Lord, forgive us. Lord, just bathe us in Your love today. Oh, we love You, Father. We love You, Jesus. Jesus, thank You. Thank You for paying the price for my sin. Thank You for going to the cross for me, taking the judgment that I deserve. Lord, you've loved me. You love me, Jesus. Oh, you love me. I was on your mind when you went to the cross. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for your great love. Even while I was yet a sinner, you loved me. Your love sought me out. Your love searched for me. Your love found me. Your love saved me. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you. I'm forever changed. I'm forever changed because of your love in my life. Oh, I'm forever changed. Oh, you've taken off the rough edges. You've lifted me up from the pit, from the mud and the mire, oh God. You've helped me. You've strengthened me. You've put my feet on solid ground. Lord, you sustain my life. You protect me. You watch over me. Lord, your love never ceases. Your love constantly surrounds me. Your love, oh God, thank you for your love. It envelops me. It reminds me of who I am and who I belong to. Oh, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I give you praise. I give you honor today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, help me to take that love that you love me with and give it to others. Help me to love others. Help me to love others like you love. Oh, Lord, teach me to love. Teach me to love. Help me to notice those that are around me. Help me to take time and talk to them, encourage them, help them. Lord, anything that I can do to bring them to you. Lord, help us. Let us be known by our love. Father, we thank you for it. Thank you for it. Hallelujah.